This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we move along in the Psalter, picking up with Psalms 104 and 105. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. Make known his deeds. Touch not my anointed. Israel came into Egypt and Moses, his servant. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Appeared to us.
Oh, God, bless us.
A reading from 2 Samuel, chapter 7. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord and said, "Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house, that you have brought me thus far? And yet, this was a small thing in your eyes, O Lord God. You have spoken also of your servant's house for a great while to come, and this is instruction for mankind, O Lord God. And what more can David say to you? For you know your servant, O Lord God. Because of your promise, and according to your own heart, you have brought about all this greatness, to make your servant know it. Therefore you are great, O Lord God. For there is none like you, and there is no God beside you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And who is like your people Israel, the one nation on earth whom God went to redeem to be his people, making himself a name and doing for them great and awesome things by driving out before your people whom you redeemed for yourself from Egypt, a nation and its gods. And you established for yourself your people Israel to be your people forever. And you, O Lord God, became their God. And now, O Lord God, confirm forever the word that you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house, and do as you have spoken. And your name will be magnified forever, saying, 'The Lord of hosts is God over Israel, and the house of your servant David will be established before you.' For you, O Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have made this revelation to your servant, saying, 'I will build you a house.' Therefore, your servant has found courage to pray this prayer to you. And now, O Lord God, you are God, and your words are true, and you have promised this good thing to your servant. Now, therefore, may it please you to bless the house of your servant, so that it may continue forever before you. For you, O Lord God, have spoken, and with your blessing shall the house of your servant be blessed forever. O Lord, have mercy on us.
The Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising.
Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Today's text is, in one sense, easy to understand. In the first half, we hear David reciting God's praise for all the things that he has done, and in the second half, David's petition that God would continue to fulfill his promise in time to come. You could easily outline this sermon, then, according to the second commandment. This is David modeling for us prayer, praise, and thanksgiving. However, to take this text in that way would be to miss the main point of the text. Certainly, it is our duty to pray, praise, and give thanks, but nowhere in this text do we sense a hint that David is doing these things according to a sense of duty. We have no sense that David feels there's someone standing at his back with a stick saying, "Your business is rejoicing, your business is rejoicing." On the contrary, David repeatedly refers to God's promise. He says especially, "Your name will be magnified forever," saying, "The Lord of hosts is God over Israel. The house of your servant David will be established. For you, Lord of hosts, God of Israel, have made this revelation to your servant. Therefore, your servant has found courage to pray this prayer to you." Again, he says, "Your words are true, and you have promised this good thing to your servant." For David, it was not a sense of duty, obligation, or anything of the sort, but rather God's promise and God's promise alone, which prompted and produced this praise, thanksgiving, and certainty. As he says in the last verse of the passage, "For you, O Lord God, have spoken, and with your blessing shall the house of your servant be blessed forever." This certainty of David is faith. Faith that is produced not by the shifting of David's own attempts to do for God, for that can produce no certainty or confidence before God. Rather, this certainty that the blessing will come true is based on God's promise alone. And it's not too much to say that it is indeed, therefore, the gospel and not the law which produces joy, which produces thanksgiving and praise in the hearts of God's people. After all, what is the content of this promise that produced such certainty for David? The content is what we find in the larger context of this passage, that God had promised a son and a house. You may remember, of course, that David wanted to build a house for God, but God said, "No, you misunderstand. I, the Lord, will build a house for you." This is important to remember. God does not need temples. We need a temple. David needed a temple. Therefore, once again, this promise was something given to David for David's sake, not because of what was in David, but because of God's promise and mercy and goodness alone. And interestingly, in this passage, in the larger context, God says both that he will build for David the temple. "I don't need your help, David, thank you. I build the temple by my power alone." And yet he says that it is David's son who will build the house. This is a promise that one day will come a man, a descendant of David, who is yet himself the Lord God. This promise does not, therefore, refer to Solomon's temple, at least not in its final sense, for Solomon's temple did not stand, and Solomon was not the son who sat forever on the throne of David. Jesus claims this promise refers to him. Jesus, in his conception, was the temple built not by man, but by God. For as we confess in the Creed, he was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. No assistance from man necessary, thank you very much. God will build the temple by his power. So also Christ says when they threaten to kill him, "Destroy this temple and I will rebuild it in 3 days." He claims that he is the temple that God has built, and if they seek to destroy it, it will be built once again by God's power alone without the help of man. Therefore, it's not a stretch to say that this promise that David heard, which produced this certainty, which evoked this praise and thanksgiving and joy, this promise was indeed the gospel. It is the gospel and not the law which produces joy, praise, and thanksgiving in David and in all of God's people. But then, of course, you have to ask, does this promise really apply to you? So far, we've only been speaking historically of this passage. Some Christians insist that, of course, any promise given to Israel belongs to the ethnic people of Israel alone. We've already seeing the problems that come from this with Jesus' inclusion of the Gentiles in the church. But then how does this happen? After all, in this passage, it says, you established for yourself your people Israel to be your people forever, and you, Lord, became their God. God is very insistent that it is specifically Israel and not any other people that he has claimed, and that he is the God of Israel, not merely a God in the abstract, but the God of a specific people. How then are the Gentiles included? Some Christians like to say that we can ransack the Old Testament and take whichever promises we please and apply them to us at will. But this again is where it's important to remember what this promise is all about and how it has been fulfilled in the New Testament. For Christ claims that he is the temple, that his body is the living temple, that in the resurrection his body is the temple. And how does he include people in that temple? How do people become part of this temple? According to the New Testament, this is by baptism, in which we are made children of God, in which we are clothed in the Son of God and have put on Christ, in which, according to the language of the New Testament, we now are being built as living stones to become a temple. Once again, this is not because God needs the temple, but because we need it. We are, in fact, in Christ, the temple that is being built. His church is the temple, and it will stand forever because the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And it is therefore in this preaching of the gospel, in baptism, through which you are made part of this temple, through which you are made into a son of God and clothed with Christ, that you are now Israel, not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And if you are Israel in Christ, according to the Spirit, then these promises do stand for you. And you can be certain in Christ that these promises are for you and that God will not change his mind. And that is important because the Lord says that he has made Israel to be his people forever. That means not merely that there will be an endless succession of children born to an ethnic people, but that those who in Christ are Israel will be God's people forever. That is a promise of eternity in the face of death. That is a promise of resurrection, not only for Christ, but for you. If God claims Israel as his people forever, that he will be their God forever, and if you in Christ are that people Israel, that house that God is building, then the promise is for you forever. And so what does this mean in summary for us? It means that every time you seek to build God's kingdom, whether in your own life, or as a seminary, or as a pastor going into a congregation, or in teaching your children, to the extent that you imagine that you will be building God's temple and furthering his kingdom, it is no longer God's temple that you are building, and no longer his kingdom that you are furthering. For God is the one who builds his temple. Christ is the one who builds his temple. But insofar as you trust this promise given to David, which belongs to you in Christ, then God's kingdom is being built in you as you embrace the promise of the gospel that in Christ's crucifixion for your sins and his resurrection from the dead, you too have been received into the kingdom of David, ruled over by the Son of David, Christ, that you too will share in his resurrection, and that all those with you who embrace this promise of the gospel will be there as well. For you, O Lord God, have spoken, and with your blessing shall the house of your servant be blessed forever. Therefore, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
In our prayers, we give thanks to God for the birth of sons Stephen Silas to seminarian Stephen and Josephine Lane, and Ambrose James to Vicar Owen and Abigail Dawson. We also give thanks for the birth of a daughter, Annie Grace, to seminarian Nathan and Gabriella Nevius.
O Lord, hear my prayer. Almighty God, you know we live in the midst of so many dangers that in our frailty we cannot stand upright. Grant strength and protection to support us in all dangers and carry us through all temptations. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Heavenly Father, you sent your own Son into this world as the child of Mary. We thank you for the lives of these children, Stephen Silas, Ambrose James, and Annie Grace, entrusted to our care. Bring them to the saving waters of holy baptism and grant to them that precious inheritance awaiting them in your eternal kingdom. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.